explain what's branching for town signs is. This is something that you do. This isn't this person's tradition. This is...
Yeah, you don't own that tradition. It's an arrogance to that. It's like everyone across the world sprints for town signs.
Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Check out the link in the description for an amazing deal, everybody.
You shameless shill.
Alex Howes, what a dude.
He's not single, Sarah. Sarah's in love with Alex
Howes. Oh, details. They're just little details.
Welcome to the Romance Cycling Podcast. My name is Anthony Walsh. 6 days a week, we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you on your journey towards health, happiness, and longevity. Now let's get into the show. This is episode number 593 of the Romance Cycling Podcast. It's Friday. It only means one thing. Sarah's back. It's newbie questions. Sarah, welcome back to another Friday, another chance for you to shine the spotlight on yourself. How are you been?
Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Check out the link in the description for an amazing deal, everybody.
You shameless shill. What are you selling?
No, this is going to help people get to the start line of their race next,
is this legitimate? We do have a Black Friday.
This is legitimate. We have a really good offer. Yeah. So I'm just going to leave it there. A little bit of intrigue. Go and check out the link.
It's not a girls only gravel camp led by Sarah who can't cycle gravel, is it?
What are you talking about? I'm basically, I'm full time graveler now.
You're a gravel pro.
Well, I wouldn't say pro, but full time.
You can just say pro. That's all the gravel pros do.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Do you know what I am? A gravel privateer. That's how I'm going to start, marketing myself now. Talking about gravel privateers, we had Hannah Otto on the podcast this week. It was amazing. She is so cool.
She actually got married. So her maiden name is Hannah Otto, but I think it's Hannah Finchamp.
Well, her story is brilliant. Everyone should check it out. She's not somebody that I would have been familiar with because up until the last couple of months, I really only followed road racing, but she cut her teeth in triathlon from the age of 9. She got into it. That is so cool, isn't it? But she was really good at triathlon. And then she decided she just wanted to focus on one discipline, went into mountain biking. She did absolutely amazing there and has now moved into pro gravel riding. And she's the latest winner of Leadville.
Yeah, she also races pro mountain bike World Cups series still, hoping to qualify for Paris, which is really unique because mountain biking is super explosive, super technical. And then you have the likes of the Lifetime Grand Prix, which you covered a few weeks ago, which it's very varied events, including Leadville, which is like 100+ mile mountain bike at altitude. Totally different physiological challenge from the World Cup she's riding, but she's managing to be one of the best mountain bikers in the world in the World Cup series and the Gravel Pro, which is quite unique. No one else is doing that, male or female.
Yeah, she talks about her training in the podcast and it gives an insight as to how, as the season and the months, change, how her focus changes in her training. So everybody should go and check that out. She's a really, really cool interviewee.
Speaking of training, my training came completely off the rails at Roller Live. I had grand plans. I brought my shorts, I brought my shoes, heart rate monitor, little hammerhead packed away. It was basically like 50% of all my luggage I brought was to do a session. Didn't get one single session in.
Oh, you got a couple of sessions in, but they were sessions on the beer.
Yeah, it was a lot of drinking. It's first time I've been to Roller Live. Turns out it's quite a lot of drinking, a bit more than I'm used to.
And you were rubbing shoulders with all of the pro peloton and all of the cycling, I'm going to say royalty over there as well. So that's pretty cool.
And I missed my flight home, but it wasn't my fault. It was a train strike. Sarah doesn't believe me. She thinks I was on the piss.
Yeah, Anthony texts me and he's like, I can't get to the airport in time. I'm going to have to stay another night. He gets to bed at 3:30, the next morning. So basically, you were taking the piss.
Oh, you're saying the dog ate my flight?
The dog ate your flight, so you had to stay. Oh, do you think I was born yesterday, Anthony? But another amazing podcast this week. Oh, I think this guest is now my new number one favorite in the entire world, even beyond Matt Stevens. And we know how I love Matt Stevens and his curls, but Alex Howes, what a dude.
He's not single, Sarah. shirt and loafer.
Oh, details. They're just little details. I'm not single either.
She's in love.
Oh my God, he's just so cool, isn't he? Laid back. I love that.
I don't love him as much as you, but I think he was a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Settle yourself down now.
So everyone check that out. That was amazing as well. Just another word on the YouTube channel. I know we spoke about it last week, but we're really trying to grow that and we're putting up content every day. So go and check it out and subscribe if you can.
Actually, someone sent me a message saying, how did I find the YouTube channel? And I forgot to reply to it over on Instagram. So hopefully you're listening and I don't have to reply to your Instagram message. It's just, I think you search Roadman Cycling Podcast on YouTube and it pops up.
Yep.
Voila.
Voila. Question number one. Anthony, why in God's name are wheels so expensive? Bit of aggro here with this rider. Why in God's name are wheels so expensive? What is the difference between a set for £600 and a set for £2,000? This is obviously one of our listeners in the UK. We're talking about the old pound.
The Queen's dollar is King's dollar these days.
King's dollar.
It's like, why is anything so expensive? Is the really annoying, condescending answer. It's a supply versus demand. It's a, you know, slightly better materials. Is it a £1,400 better wheel? I doubt it. What was real interesting was I went to China a few years ago, went to the Canton Fair, which is one of the trade exhibitions. And what that was really useful for was calibrating my idea of value. You bring something back to its intrinsic value of the parts and you look at it and go, well, is a carbon rim in a hub with some spokes, is that worth £2,000? The value of the raw materials in that is, you know, it's probably 50, 60 pounds. So where's that excess gap coming from? Well, it's coming from research and development and it's coming from a marketing budget. So there's a really good value way to get those wheels. Some brands piggyback on the R&D that bigger brands do and they release the exact same wheel, just without the branding, without the marketing, without the R&D, a little bit behind the curve. I've had brilliant sets of wheels where friends have brought in nondescript rims from China and we've built them up with Chris King hubs ourselves and they're some of the best wheels I've ever had. But yeah, that's the reason why one wheel is expensive and one is not. Some companies are leading the way in aerodynamics, so they're spending hundreds of hours in the wind tunnel and that's all has to get paid somehow. That's factored back into the price. Some companies are building big brands, Zip, Envy, Lightweight, huge marketing money going into paying influencers, going into paying marketing campaigns, so it's more expensive. So it doesn't always equate to a much better wheel.
It doesn't equate to better performance just because your wheel is more expensive. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Because you like having training wheels and race wheels.
Yeah, I don't do that so much anymore. I used to do that more. Yeah, I used to be religious on it. I would never, maybe if I'm back racing serious next year, I don't like my good tires getting wrecked every day of the week.
Yeah, because when we did the gravel grinder a couple of weeks ago, you didn't have race wheels for it. And I think you were a little bit like, oh, I'm a bit disappointed I don't have race wheels, which is totally new to me. I mean, it's just a concept. I wouldn't even, you don't know what you don't know.
It's kind of like going out for a night out. You have your clothes you wear during the day and then you have your clothes if you want to get fancy at the weekend. It's nice to put something different on. It brings you into a different mindset. Race wheels are kind of like that for me. It's like, okay, the race wheels are on. Now it's race time.
Now, as a complete newbie, and we're talking about the set of wheels that you would get at an entry-level bike and a set of wheels on, you know, one of these really decked out, kitted out, very expensive or, you know, wheels. The difference is, though, there is differences with regards to bearings and, you know, the quality, how long the wheel will go, you know, if you spin the wheel, you know, and how long it will spin for versus, and you know, the expensive one versus the cheap one.
Oh, look, I'm not saying that a set of wheels for £600 is the same quality as a set of wheels for £2,000, but there's probably enough £1,400 difference in the performance, is
okay.
What I'm saying.
Okay, gotcha. Anthony, I am looking to buy a new bike. To be honest, my road bike has seen better days. It's a Trek 1000. I'm not familiar with that bike, but maybe you are. I'm also keen to get stuck into a bit of graveling. My question is, can I just buy a gravel bike and put road wheels on it for the road and gravel wheels on it for gravel? Physically, I'm pretty sure that is an option, but is it an okay thing to do? Would I be marked out as a serious Fred? This guy basically wants to do this, but wants to know, is he going to be laughed at?
No, I don't think you're going to be laughed at. Don't know, it depends on your friend group. Well, the Trek 1000 is an old school bike. You definitely won't. They're a nice bike, but it's probably 10 years old at this stage. It would have been a real entry level bike for a lot of people. Kind of because it was in that bike to work range for Irish listeners around just north of €1,000 at the time. good training bike, good winter bike, good starter race bike. If you can't win races on a Trek 1000, it's probably not because of the bike, it's probably more because of the legs. But if you're looking to get stuck into gravel or take it a bit more serious or just buy something a bit shinier, it's definitely not a blingy bike now, being that old. You could buy one gravel bike. I feel like if you're not racing, you're not going to be allowed to race, I don't think, on a gravel. Actually, I don't know on that. Maybe you can race on a gravel bike with road wheels. Now that I'm saying, it's the gearing is why you wouldn't be able to race on it. So you'd be completely undergeared. And the headset angle's a bit weirder, which makes handling different. A gravel bike is not going to be a road bike. It's not going to have the same performance as the road. Will you get away with throwing a set of road wheels on? Is more what your question is. Yeah, definitely. I am thinking of bringing my new beautiful, shiny Batmobile 51 Assassin over to Girona and leaving it over there and just bringing a second set of wheels. So swapping between gravel wheels and road wheels. Will I be marked out as a Fred? Time will tell.
Potentially. And we were just talking about doing this on my gravel bike, because my road bike, I'm probably going to bring that to Girona and leave it there and have my gravel bike here and maybe swap the wheels out for when I want to do a little bit of road.
You're not getting a new set of wheels. So that's not happening for you.
Hi, Anthony. Myself and a few of the lads in the club have a great little tradition of sprinting for town signs. How can I improve my sprint technique? Obviously, I know it's all about power, but what about when to start the sprint? Should I always be on the drops? What about head position? Obviously, I'm no Mark Cavendish, but I'd love any help with this. Explain what sprinting for town signs is. This is something that you do. This isn't this person's tradition. This is
Yeah, you don't own that tradition. It's an arrogance to that. It's like everyone across the world sprints for town signs. It's just when you see like a welcome to Ashbourne sign, you use that as a finish line. And you
it's very colloquial. Welcome to Ashbourne. You could have said something like welcome to Hollywood.
Yes, welcome to Dunboyne, you sprint for it. And yeah, that's been going on forever. The town sign's normally a little bit outside of the town, makes it a safe place to sprint, so you're not sprinting straight into a red light or traffic lights or junctions or
it's
whatever.
It's usually on a straight stretch.
Yeah, so it's a cool place to sprint and you're sprinting with your buddies. What could help your sprint power is whatever Black Friday sale we have going on down below on that link. Unsure what it is, but it might be like an 8-week sprint plan, who knows. Technique-wise, I would say practice makes perfect. You got to look at videos of sprinters, looking at Cavendish, Greipel, Kittel,
Sagan
back in the day, Caleb Ewan is a good technique sprinter, Jakobsen now, Sam Bennett, one of the best in the game. Looking at this and seeing, mimic their body position, where's their head? I was actually out training with a friend today and he was sprinting for town signs and he was sprinting really upright. And he was trying to say to him, get your chin down on the stem, like get your arse up and head down. And that's a, you know, a nice way to cut through the air a little bit faster. You're trying to minimize that CDA coefficient, frontal drag, so less wind hitting you as you're going. But yeah, watch videos and practice.
So let's say the guy that you're training with today, Matt, is he down on the drops when he's sprinting, or is he trying to just get his body by bending his elbows?
Sorry, I thought that was obvious, but okay. I jumped ahead of you. No,
not for me, in essence.
Yeah,
no.
You sprint on the drops.
You always sprint on the drops.
Unless you're Dan Martin and you lose like Grand Tour stages because you sprint on the hoods.
Ouch. Okay, absolutely amazing. Sprinting, nothing, something I know absolutely nothing about.
I've never seen
clearly.
You sprint.
No. Okay, let's move on to tech now. I'm doing something different today than our usual tech where we get a piece of equipment and talk about it because I don't want anyone to miss out on this. Now, we are not affiliated with this series or this race series, but y'all know I've become completely obsessed with gravel. I think the crack is 90.
Is this part of your gravel privateer, Colin, for next year?
Exactly. So I want to talk about an event and the registration is actually opening today. Just for people who don't know where to start with signing up for events for gravel and if you're prepared to do a little bit of travel as well. The Nordic Gravel Series, basically it's just released its 2023 calendar and there's 6 events that are going on and there's 2 timed races in Sweden and Finland. So most of the 6 races are just going to be, you know, you go, you have the crack, you drink beers afterwards. They're all 3-day events where there's a pre-event ride, shakeout ride, the ride, and then there's some kind of activities the following day. And they all just look like brilliant fun, really well organized. As I said, this is its 6th year of being run. So like the riff that Anthony did last year, they're very self-guided. So it's not, you know, it's not like a Grand Fondo or anything where you're going to be totally minded and fed the whole way around. They give you the GPS route and you make your way around using that. And the races in Sweden are happening in Uppsala, and the other one in Finland is Jive Askaila, and they're going to host the competitive gravel races. So what do you think, Anthony? Are we in?
Sounds cold, but yeah, it's interesting. Iceland was really enjoyable. It's a part of the world I never probably would have visited if I hadn't been going to do that gravel race. So yeah, I'd be interested to check out Sweden as well. And
Finland.
Yeah, sounds like an interesting part of the world. I'll definitely have a look at it.
Have a little look, and you might have a little nibble out of it. So registration, as I said, opens today. That's Friday, November the 11th. And if you want to, you can go to nordicgravel.com. You can get all the details there and you can
sponsored.
Sign in. It's not.
I definitely didn't get any money for it. Why is her stuff always self-sponsored? I think she's like a sideline revenue coming in that she's not telling me about.
It's my running away money. Yeah. I just have it in a separate account in case I need to get out.
Just in case it is sponsored and there is getting money, I'm going to say it seems cold as hell there. There's got to be somewhere warmer to go into a gravel race.
Rift was cold as well, though.
Rift was cold. So.
Europe, I think a lot of our listeners are based in Europe, and if you don't want to travel the whole way, I mean, look, there's like a zillion races happening in the US.
I don't know where to find gravel races that often. They're quite...
That's why I wanted to talk about this, you know? It's kind of, they're very low key. They don't tend to scream and shout about them.
Yeah,
so.
You need to know, that sounds obvious, but yeah. It's not like one centralized calendar where you can go, okay, well, there's all the gravel races. Or maybe there is. Someone put me an Instagram message if there is like a something that aggregates all the gravel races, because I'd be kind of looking around going, oh, here's a 2-week gap in August. I wonder is there anything on there? And then you're kind of trying to recall races that people have told you about and look for the dates in those. It'd be cool if there's an aggregator.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. There you go. There's a little project for you if there's something out there.
Sarah, thanks for chatting.
I will chat to everybody tomorrow.
Laters.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Have you ever wondered how good you could actually be? Each of us has a unique set of circumstances with work, family, and social obligations, but we all still want to fulfill our potential in cycling. Okay, maybe you won't ever win the Tour de France, but for most of us, this is what cycling is about. So let us build you the perfect training plan around your lifestyle that's totally unique to you and will help you finally realize your cycling dreams. So whether you're just getting started on the bike or if you're a more seasoned cyclist, we have a suitable coach for you. So why not schedule a call with us and we can have a chat about how we can help you go further than you ever dreamed of in your cycling and fitness goals. Go to roadmancycling.com/contact or pop me an email directly to sarah@roadmancycling.com.